Saram, dear listeners, it's a Thursday, 7:30 p.m. in the evening, so it's time for our next episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, wherein we listen to Swami's discourses and try our best to imbibe the beautiful message which Swami gives in them. And we are studying the 1990 Summer Course series. And if you are a regular listener to this program, you will know that to host this program alongside me, I have Brother Sai Prakash, and this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, by the way. And like we've had the pleasure of, in the last couple of weeks, we have today too, the pleasure of having the company of Suresh Rao, sir. Sai Ram, Sai Prakash, and Sai Ram, sir.
Thank you.
We are studying the seventh discourse in the series, the second discourse about the mind. And we've had one episode, I think, on this discourse.
The mind still continues to baffle you even after a complete discourse on the mind. I know Swami has spoken so much about the mind in the previous discourse, and the mind is absolutely fresh and clear now when you go to the next discourse. I think it's a big ocean.
And it's interesting because one more thing which Swami said towards the end of the previous discourse was Swami is going to start the discussion about the gunas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at least so far it doesn't appear like Swami started speaking about the gunas, but Swami is talking about the vagaries of the mind and the inflictions the mind suffers.
True.
I think that should not be any different from what Swami says are the gunas.
Correct.
Because Swami says what are the waves and what are the, the various vagaries of the mind actually are what we call gunas. Swami often gives the description of sattva, rajas and tamas.
Correct.
As being three chains. One may be gold, the other silver and the other bronze.
Mm-hmm.
One may be more precious and valuable than the other, but nevertheless all three are binding. And I think that is quite the case with the mind too. You know, you might have good thoughts, you might have bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have thoughts and you attach to them, you tend to be responsible for what they are.
Very true. As always, I think Swami starts with this beautiful Padyam. And where he says that man, mind is responsible for liberation and bondage. And he says, if a person is not having a steady mind, it makes no difference whether he lives in the forest or he lives in the temple or he lives in the cities, or he can live anywhere. So basically it's the state of the mind that reflects the state of a person. And very beautifully Swami goes on to start with the famous Dakshinamurti, reference to Dakshinamurti. I think it's there in the Dakshinamurti Stotram, the first line, Vishwam Darpana Darpamana Nagari. Right. So that is where he says that the universe is like a reflection in the mirror.
Right.
And he says, what is required today is the final annihilation of the Antakarnas. I think we were discussing last time, the Antakarnas are the Mano, Buddhi, Chitta and Ahankara.
Right.
So these are, as Swami explained in the previous discourse, various aspects of the mind. And he says the final annihilation of the Antakarna is the most important. And
In the Antakarna, we have that Chitta, Mano, Buddhi, Chitta, Ahankara.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is called the Chitta Chora.
Okay.
So annihilation of the Antakarana means we are surrendering it to Swami and he takes over,
mm-hmm.
provided it has been purified, and taking over this chitta from the aspirant, mm-hmm. is actually giving him the, granting him liberation, because then the ego is dead, the ego has been surrendered, and the mind, the buddhi, intellect,
mm-hmm.
is taken over by the guru or God.
Mm.
And what remains is the liberation alone. And see, and that is why annihilation of the Antakarana is actually liberation. When the moment it is annihilated,
mm-hmm.
the person is liberated. So that is the moksha state. See.
Is it chitta that refers to the memories? Or
right.
Chitta is the memories.
Memory.
So manas is basically... what you are currently undergoing, or how is what
is Manas on? Is the wavering nature of the mind.
Correct.
To do this, not to do this, assessing.
And buddhi is the intellect.
Buddhi is discriminating power.
And chitta is the memories that
It is the fun storehouse actually of all your past impressions, past memories, and that determines your how you are going to react.
Okay. Then I think Swami moves on to the various pollutions how of the mind.
I think it all stems from that description which Swami gives of mind being the mirror.
Mirror, true.
And interesting, you know, talking about chitta, I mean, reminded, one of the qualities of the mind is to make connections.
Okay.
They say the moment you see a person, you try to connect some past experience with that person. Like, you know, suppose I see a person of a particular country. I would have had an experience of a person from that country. So immediately my mind will say that people from this country are like this.
Correct.
Or if I, you know, see somebody of a certain nature, you know, the shape of a nose, they say, the way their eyes are or the way they speak. Immediately you tend to connect, you know, cunningness or goodness or kindness, some quality. And that's why it is said when you say chitta chora, when you say somebody who removes that nature of you making connections, so that you are pure to do what the Lord wants you to do. Because as long as those inbuilt memories and inbuilt likes and dislikes and
prejudices,
you know, prejudices are there, you will not be in a position to do what the Lord commands you to do or a guru asks you to do. Right. And you know, reminded, I think many times Swami has mentioned this even when talking to students, even when they were had the ability to muse what Swami was wanting them to do, Swami would say, this is not enough. We should go a little further. I'm reminded, it seems, you know, once Swami came out of the interview room, and Swami just looked at one of the boys. So immediately the boys, boy understood that Swami wants him to do something. So he went into the interview room and did that. And Swami was happy, but Swami said, yeah, I'm happy, but actually I wanted you to do another thing. I would have been happy if you had mused that also and done it.
You know, when you're talking of this, a very beautiful, very simple thing that happened, but, you know, very beautiful it was, because I was an eyewitness to it. This was way back in Hadshi, when Swami was in Hadshi.
Right.
And before actually going to Hadshi, he was in Pune, and he went to the house of the person who actually constructed the, what's his name?
Patil. Some Patil.
No, no. So Swami went to their house in Pune. And there was all these items arranged. And Swami was just looking at it very curiously, all the items. He says,
items of food on his
food,
plate.
Food,
okay.
Food on this table. And Swami is saying, see, I never have any breakfast. Generally, I don't take any breakfast. But you have served all this with so much of love. And he was looking at all the items. Then he just picked up one item. That was a kind of a vada. And so he just looked at it and he said, what is this? Then they said, Swami, this is Sabudana vada. It's quite famous
Maharashtra. Maharashtra, right.
So Swami said, aha, okay. And looked at it and just left it back in the vessel. And the moment Swami left it back, that person there in the house, he just looked into the kitchen. And with just his eye signal, his wife got, in a matter of few seconds, she brought another bowl with something in it. Then Swami asked, what is this? They said, Swami, it is the same vada cut into pieces. Because Swami took the vada and it was
too big.
Quite big in size.
Okay.
And Swami had just mentioned that I don't take
breakfast.
So they just cut it into sizes, into small pieces, so that Swami could take a small bit and that sukshmam, you know, that
right.
Instantly trying to, in connection, in sync with what Swami wants. Yeah. That we really saw on that day, that was beautiful.
Beautiful.
You know, here there is a very nice thing, as Swami is continuing to say about comparing the mind with the mirror. And he says, just like the mirror can have many faults because of which you cannot see your own reflection. The mind also has similar faults, like, and he has mentioned the three, mala, vikshepa and avarna.
Right.
And he went on to describe what is mala. But here there is an important and beautiful statement. He says, man commits many offenses knowingly or unknowingly, not only in this life, but also in previous lives. So, I mean, all that which accumulates in the chitta, And I think the consequences of lifetimes.
Yes,
am I right,
yes,
sir?
Yes, yes, yes. Samskaras, we call them.
Samskaras.
One man will have different samskaras from the other, mm-hmm. although they may be brothers, like you said last time. That all comes from his past life, because we are our own ancestors in our way. In a way, we are all our own ancestor. Because from the last several lives, I have been building up my chitta in a particular manner. And the next person will similarly be building up his chitta based on his past actions, past samskara. So that relationship, what you call brother and sister and all, is not really correct, except for the fact that in one life they have come together. See, as brothers and sisters.
It's quite interesting, you know, reading a book by a psychiatrist, Brian Weiss, where he talks about his regression therapy, where patients come to him with certain afflictions, and he regresses them to the knowledge of their past life and picks out the cause for their affliction, their mental problem, or even sometimes even physical problems, and he cures them. So one young lady comes to him with a very curious problem. She, you know, living in America, she is very worried about why the Jews are discriminated against, you know, the Palestine problem. And she is very disturbed, and she gets into depression because of it. She says, you know, how can they be so cruel to Jews? How can they be this to Jews? I hate the other religion. I don't want this to happen. So, and this doctor was trying to tell her that, you know, you're so far away. Those events do not affect your life. But why do you let that disturb you? So then he takes her into a session of regression and takes her to a past birth. And in that birth, she's actually born into this. She was a member of that community, which she's hating now.
Persecution.
Okay. Yeah. And in a birth before that, she was in some other community and hating the opposite community. And he realized that your problem is not with a religion. Your problem is not with a certain community, but you are having this hatred towards another community which you don't belong to, and that is being carried on from birth to birth. If you are able to give that up, then you will progress. You know, we tend to be attached to what we are and where we belong to, but the fact is, I think, you know, when a hatred is there, you might, you know, somebody is there, let's say they're very proud of being a man or proud of being a woman. That nature just comes to you, you know, you might swap sexes in the next birth, but that feeling of I'm in a higher pedestal, that continues even though you change.
Taking up another example, you know, where Nisargadatta Maharaj, of course, and what is the difference between an avatar and a Nisargadatta Maharaj Jnani? What's the difference between an avatar and a Jnani had come up when I was there and somebody was asking. So he said, the man asked him, first he asked him, Swamiji, can you tell me what my brother is doing in New York right now? Nisargadatta Maharaj said, no, for that you need a training, you know, you have to be a yogi with a particular type of training to know what is happening in New York. Then I said, sir, but in case of an avatar, if you know, if you ask him the same question, he says, yes, your brother is doing such and such a thing in New York right now. That knowledge is there in the avatar. How is that? He said, see, I know the gold very well, quality of gold and purity of gold. But I don't know all the different types of jewels that you make out of gold. See, that is the basic difference between a Jnani and an avatar. The avatar is all-knowing. He knows the jewels as well as the gold, see, and the particular nature of each jewel. That's the difference between a Jnani and an avatar.
You know, there's that famous short story which is said about a village where there is a huge, tall wall. And no one knows what was in the other side of the wall. And everybody is wondering what is there. And nobody has the courage to scale that wall and see what is on the other side. And then they say, finally, one man scales. And he sees the other side and he exclaims in excitement and jumps over. So again, they're in the same predicament. They don't know what's on the other side. And it seems every person who makes bold to scale the wall jumps that side. So one man sees and he comes back and tells them what is there on the other side. So they say the role of a guru is that.
Okay.
The role of a jnani, he sees the other side and comes and tells you what is there. And, you know, extending that story, they say the one who comes from the other side of the wall is an avatar. And, you know, he is one who is not a ascend.
His compassion for suffering humanity is so great that he decides to come back.
In fact, not here when Swami says that, the actions done knowingly or unknowingly, even from previous lives, all these form this thing, dust on the chitta, that where he is comparing it to the dust on the mirror. So it's very clear that for an avatar, nothing affects. So as Krishna rightly said, name partha asti kartavyam, I have no duty in this world. I need not do any work, but I just do work to set an example. So I think no action of his, you know, there is no accumulated memory or there's no karma, there's nothing, he is beyond all that.
There's one statement that Swami made that is a little bit need of clarification, which I also was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Once he says, a woman stands before a mirror, I mean, our state is like that. You know? Mm-hmm. The mirror, because mirror is the reflected image of the mirror in this, of the universe, mm-hmm. is what Dakshinamurti says. He says, the problem is the woman, instead of applying the tikka mm-hmm. on her forehead, she is applying it on the forehead of the image
okay.
in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not a substantial thing to do, because every time you move the mirror, the either mirror or the object, when you move, mm-hmm. the tikka is moving. See, mm-hmm. it's not going to be permanent on the...
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the nature of maya, that we do things with the idea that outer world mm-hmm. can be perfected.
Okay.
You see? Mm. Whereas ourselves, we are still in the state of maya and not realizing that the tikka has to be applied here. That means subjectively we have to come out of this change, world of change, you know. And and he tries to explain that. I was just wondering, when we say a mirror comes everywhere and the reflected image comes everywhere, then the illusion formed because of this reflection and the difference from the original, that is the atmic state, is very brought out where it says that you can apply the tikka not on the mirror but on your own self. See, that is a very subjective thought that Swami has raised, you know, in realizing the atma.
See, just continuing a little bit on the Harshi thing, just something comes to my mind. Like Mr. Jadhav, of course, whose name I forgot earlier. I went back to my chitta and found it, I possibly.
Oh, yeah, Jadhav.
Mr. Jadhav. Mr. Jadhav. So, when Swami went to Harshi, there is one way, you know, Swami had actually gone around to see some of the fields. And when he was coming back, he saw huge tents there. And he asked them, what are these tents? And they said, Swami, this is for serving prasads to all your devotees. And that touched Swami so much. And they had not gone telling Swami, we have done this, we have done that. When Swami saw it, happened to see it. And they said, Swami, every day of your visit, we are giving prasad, free food to everybody who came. Swami was so moved that evening on the dining table, Swami said, today I don't want to touch any food. I am full. I am absolutely satisfied because you have taken care of my devotees. So, I mean, such an example here, it falls in context because actions which are selfless, they really please Bhagwan, they please the Lord. And I think such actions when offered, they don't, you know, accumulate as any chitta or any karma on you, because they are selfless acts. So one way out of this is to do selfless acts. Because that was so beautiful, and Swami says, I don't need to touch food, I'm full. And the Lord was so happy. In fact, he goes further to mention that when Pandavas requested Lord Krishna, please have food with us, Lord Krishna said, not now, I will have it after the war. And Swami said, this is Vijay Bhojanam. I am having food with you all. This is Vijay Bhojanam. He was so pleased, so moved that, you know, they had taken care of his devotees. So in a way, you know, he says, actions, you are bound by your actions and your chitta and all that accumulated karma, but one way out possibly is selfless acts.
Very true. You know, that's what one of the old devotees was saying.
Mm-hmm.
They came in the 40s and 50s and And, you know, that was a time when it was so difficult to even accept Swami, but they came and they would come and stay here for months. If there was a birthday celebration, they would cook for the devotees who were here. And you could say in a sense that they've done a lot of service to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami would reflect that feeling. But these devotees would always tell Swami that, Swami, please don't give us a ring. Please don't give us a chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that will be like you're repaying us. Don't give us anything, because that will become like a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's similarly what happened in the case of Radha also, right? In that last moment when Krishna comes and says,
correct,
mm-hmm, what do you want from me? She says, I don't want anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing I need and nothing mm-hmm I want.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna says, not even my love. And she says, no, I don't even want your love.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you're saying, that is the thing, that you, when you do something
mm-hmm
with absolutely
selflessly,
no desire for
returns.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That will become an act which will never find its place in your karma or in your chitta.
True. Just offer to the Lord. Beautiful. And you know, then coming back to what Swami is talking about, the three kinds of pollution that the mind goes through, we, I think, covered that portion where Swami speaks of mala last time.
Right.
Mala he compares to the dirt on the mirror.
Right.
And he says one way that is the way of overcoming this mala is ahara and vihara,
right,
proper food and habits. And then in context of food, he says there is paka shuddhi, padartha shuddhi and patra shuddhi. So patra shuddhi is actually the vessels, padartha shuddhi is the materials used for cooking, and paka shuddhi is the process of cooking itself.
Mm-hmm.
And he says if there is any fault in any of these three, then it affects the kind of food.
Right.
And he goes on to say that's why it's good to offer the food to God before having the food. And that's where Swami speaks about Brahmarpanam and Aham Vaishwana Rubhutva. So,
He talks about, when you said Sattvic Rajasic, you know, food also comes under these three qualities, Sattvic, mm-hmm, Rajasic and Tamasic.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we have a milk or vegetables or fruits, you know, they call it Sattvic.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sadhaka's type of food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to non-vegetarian foods and fish and meats and all, they come under the tamasic state, mm-hmm, foods, you know.
Mm.
So that is definitely going to affect your patra shuddhi, pak shuddhi and padartha shuddhi.
Mm.
See, that is why Swami insists on vegetarianism here, you know, and mm among his own family members right from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important for a sadhaka to have a sattvic food.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from these other purity seeds. So, avoiding non-vegetarians and avoiding too much of salt, too much of sourness, too much of chilies, you know, all these make it rajasic.
Mm-hmm.
And having bland diets and nutritious diet with fresh vegetables and fruits and milk. This mm-hmm is what is a sattvic diet. And in that itself, you should have patra shuddhi, padartha shuddhi and pak shuddhi. So, quality of the food also is very, very important. So for
says,
an aspirant, I'm not talking, everybody may not be an aspirant.
He says, this will result in removing the impurity of the mind called mala. But here is a discouraging statement rather. It says, this requires persistent and prolonged practice. It cannot happen in a day or a month.
Yes.
Swami says, I won't say discouraging, but it's a challenge.
Right.
If you look at it in the other way, it's a challenge.
It's a challenge and it's an encouraging statement also in a sense. Because Swami says that, you know, anything can be achieved through practice.
That's true.
And addressing the students, he says, you are still young.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too late. Even now if you begin, you know, you can make amends for all the mistakes you've done so far.
Mm-hmm. He quotes that shloka, Shreho Gyanam Abhyasat. So I think that is what Swami was speaking about, the impurity mala on the mind. Should we go on to the next clip?
Shall we go to the next clip?
Sure.
The discourse.
ఈనాడు లోకంలో ఎంతో మంది విద్యార్థులు ఉన్నారు, విద్యావంతులు ఉంటున్నారు, విద్యాధికారులు ఉంటున్నారు.
దేర్ ఆర్ ఇన్యూమరబుల్ నంబర్స్ ఆఫ్ స్టూడెంట్స్.
రెండవది విక్షేపము.
ద సెకండ్ వన్ ఈజ్ విక్షేప.
ఇది కూడాను అద్దం వంటిదే మనస్సు.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ లైక్ ఎ మిరర్.
కానీ అద్దమును మనం కదిలిస్తూ ఉండినంత వరకు కూడాను మన ప్రతిబింబం కూడా అందులో కదులుతూనే ఉంటుంది.
వెన్ ది మిరర్ ఈజ్ మూవింగ్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ, the reflection in the mirror also keeps moving.
కనుక ఈ మనస్సు అనేటువంటి నిరంతరము చంచలంగా అటు ఇటు కదలటం చేతనే ఇందులో ఉండేటువంటి ప్రతిబింబం కూడాను చంచలంగానే రూపొందుతూ ఉండాలి.
When your mind becomes wavering, fickle and moving, naturally the image inside also will be moving.
కనుకనే అర్జునుడు చెప్పాడు, చంచలం మీ మనకృష్ణ ప్రమాది బలవద్రుడం. ఈ చంచలమైనటువంటి మనస్సుతో నేను జీవించలేకపోతున్నాను, ఇది ప్రమాదమైనటువంటిదిగా ఉంటుండాలి, చాలా బలవత్తరమైనటువంటిదిగా ఉంటుండాలి అని ప్రార్థించాడు.
అర్జున ప్రేయర్ టు కృష్ణ, ఐ హావ్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు మేనేజ్ మై మైండ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫికల్ వేవరింగ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ పవర్ఫుల్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫర్మ్.
ఈ చంచలత్వమును స్థిరత్వంగా గావించడానికి ఏది ఉపాయం?
హౌ కెన్ యూ మేక్ దిస్ అన్స్టడీ మైండ్ ఇన్ టు ఎ స్టడీ వన్?
దీనిని ధ్యానమని, ప్రార్థనని, చింతనని, ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క నవవిధ మార్గములు యందు దీనిని క్రమక్రమేణ స్థిరపరచుకోవచ్చును.
ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ టు స్టడీ మైండ్ త్రూ మెడిటేషన్, త్రూ ప్రేయర్ అండ్ త్రూ చాంటింగ్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్
రమణం కీర్తనం విష్ణు స్మరణం పాదసేవనం వందనం అర్చనం స్నేహం ఆత్మనివేదనం. ఈ నవవిధ మార్గముల యందు మానవుడు పవిత్రమైన యొక్క హృదయంతో ప్రార్థనలు సలిపినప్పుడు ఈ చంచలత్వము క్రమక్రమేణ ఒక స్థితికి రాగలదు.
When man from the core of his heart starts praying and following the 9 types of devotion, starting from listening to ఆత్మనివేదనం surrender, it would be possible to study the mind.
యువకుల యందు మాలిన్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క మనసును మరింత మాలిన్యమైనటువంటి దాంతోనే అభివృద్ధి పరుస్తున్నారు.
బట్ టుడేస్ యూత్ ఈజ్ మేకింగ్ ది మైండ్ ఫర్దర్ డర్టీ వెన్ దర్ ఇస్ ఆల్రెడీ డర్ట్ అక్యూములేటెడ్ అన్ ఇట్.
బురదతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క వస్తువును తిరిగి బురదతోనే గడిగినప్పుడు అది బురద పోతుందా?
వెన్ ఏ మార్షీ పీస్, పీస్ విచ్ హెస్ కలెక్టెడ్ మార్షీ డర్ట్ అన్ ఇట్, ఇఫ్ యూ గో ఆన్ మిక్సింగ్ విత్ దాట్,
బురదతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క వస్తువును పరిశుద్ధమైనటువంటి జలంతో కడగాలి.
ఇఫ్ ఎనీ పీస్ ఈజ్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ మార్షీ,
కానీ ఈనాటి యువకుడు యందు అట్టి పరిజ్ఞానం అనేటువంటిది శూన్యమైంది.
But unfortunately today's youth do not have that
ee naati vidya vidhanamulandu sariyainaatundi viveka vidhanamulu lekunda pothunnayi.
Today's education is bereft of discrimination and
kanukune swartha saprayojanamainaatundi yokka tattvalu abhirudhi ayipothunnayi.
Selfishness and self-centeredness are growing.
Laukika bhautikamainaatundi bhoga bhagyamulu nimittamai ee naadu vidyarthi prakulaadutunnadu.
Today's student is aspiring for worldly and physical comfort.
Vidyarthulu bhavishyattuku taginatunti yokka adhyakshulu,
students are will have to preside over
dali bharatam bharamulainatunti vidyarthuni yokka hrudayamulu malinyamga undinappudu bharata desham paripalanu kodanu malinyangane roopondutundi.
The hearts of students who are going to be the future citizens are filled with the dark. There is no future and hope.
Vidyarthulara, మీ విద్య 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 అనేటువంటిది కేవలం పొట్టకూటి కోసం నేర్చేటువంటి విద్యలు కాదు.
Dear students, when you say education, it should not be for eking out a mere livelihood.
విద్య అనగా కేవలము జీవిత పరమావధి నిమిత్తమై ఏర్పడినటువంటిది విద్య.
Education is meant to show the very goal of life.
జీవనోపాధి నిమిత్తమై ఏర్పడినటువంటిది కాదనే సత్యాన్ని మొట్టమొదట గుర్తించాలి విద్యార్థులు.
ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ స్టూడెంట్స్ షుడ్ రికగ్నైజ్ దట్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఇస్ నాట్
జీవించడానికి మనిషిగా పుట్టనక్కర్లేదు.
ఫర్ ఈకింగ్ ఎ లివింగ్ వన్ నీడ్ నాట్ బి బోర్న్.
పశుపక్షి మృగాదులు కూడా జీవిస్తూనే ఉంటున్నాయి.
Animals, birds and beasts are also living a life.
ఇటువంటి జీవించడానికి ఉపయోగపడేటువంటి విద్యను మనం అభ్యసించడం చేత కేవలం మనం కూడాను పశువుతో సమానం అవుతాం.
ఇఫ్ వి ఎర్న్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ఈకింగ్ ఎ లైవ్లీహుడ్,
జీవితం ఆదర్శవంతమైన జీవితంగా రూపొందాలి.
స్టూడెంట్స్ లైఫ్ షుడ్ బికమ్ ఎ మోడల్, ఎన్ ఐడియల్ అండ్ ఎన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
కనుక చంచలత్వం అనేటువంటి యొక్క ఈ మానసిక తత్వాన్ని క్రమక్రమేణ స్థిరపరచడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలి.
యూ షుడ్ మేక్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు స్టడీ యువర్ మైండ్ అండ్ రిమూవ్ ది అన్స్టడీనెస్.
ఏకాగ్రత
That is concentration.
ఈ యొక్క ఏకాగ్రత మనకు లభించాలంటే దీనికి చేయవలసినటువంటి పని ఏమిటి?
If you should develop concentration, what is it that you will have to do?
మనము bend the body, mend the senses and the mind. This is the process of attaining in mentality.
Bend the body, mend the senses and end the mind is the process.
కనుక మనము దేహమును వంచి శ్రమించి కర్తవ్య కర్మలు ఆచరించాలి.
Bend the body and undertake physical task, physical work.
Mend the senses. మనము మన యొక్క ఇంద్రియములను సరైనటువంటి స్థితిలో పెట్టుకోవడానికి తగినటువంటి యొక్క బలమును మనం సంపాదించాలి.
We should gather sufficient strength to keep our senses under control.
ఇంకా మన మనస్సును సరైన అదుపులో ఉంచుకోవాలి.
We have to keep our mind under control.
ఈ మనస్సు, ఈ దేహము, ఈ ఇంద్రియములు మన యొక్క స్వాధీనమును ఉంచుకున్నప్పుడే మనం మాస్టర్ అవుతాం, లేకపోతే మనం స్లేవ్స్ అవుతాం.
Only when we keep our mind, our body and our senses under our control, we can be called masters. Otherwise, we are only slaves.
కనుకని విద్యార్థులు మాస్టర్ 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 అంటారు.
దట్ ఈస్ వై
మాస్టర్ అనగా ఈ ఇంద్రియములను వశము చేసుకున్నటువంటి వాడే మాస్టర్.
ఓన్లీ దట్ పర్సన్ హూ కంట్రోల్స్ ది సెన్సెస్ కెన్ బి కాల్డ్ ఎ మాస్టర్.
ఈ మాస్టర్ స్థాయి కొంతవరకు మితిమీరిపోయిన తర్వాత అతను కేవలము మాస్టర్ అవుతాడు.
ఇఫ్ దిస్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ మాస్టర్ ఎక్సీడ్స్ లిమిట్స్, he gets the stage of master.
తర్వాత అతను మిస్టర్ అవుతాడు.
Then he becomes mister.
కనుక మీరు ఇప్పుడు మాస్టర్ స్థితిలో ఉంటున్నారు.
You are in the stage of master now.
పేరు మాస్టర్ గా పెట్టుకుని స్లేవ్స్ గా మనం జీవిస్తే ఈ యొక్క మన యొక్క జీవితానికి ఒక కళంకం కాదా?
If you have got the name master and behave like a slave, is it not
విద్యార్థులు కేవలము ఇంద్రియములకు లోబడి ఇంద్రియార్థమై మనం పెడమార్గం పట్టకూడదు.
Students becoming slaves of senses, we should not go on the wrong path.
Vidyanu arthinchali.
You should earn and learn education.
Itara chintala paina ye matram kodunu manasunu pravesha pettakodudu.
Should not divert your mind on
anlaukika bhautika dharmika adhyatmika rajakeeyam yendu manam ye matram kodunu praveshinchakodudu.
We should not divert our mind on the worldly, physical, political and such other things.
Appude neevu vidyarthi avutavu.
Then only you can be called a student.
Lekapothe neevu vishyarthi avutavu.
Otherwise you are seeking vishayas.
Manasunu sariyaina sthitilo ninchukunnappude neevu student. Deenini vividhamaina margamlo praveshapettinappudu you are stupid.
You are student only when you put your mind in the proper path. Otherwise you are stupid.
ప్రియమైన విద్యార్థులారా, మీరు స్టూడెంట్స్ గా రూపొందాలి.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇంటూ రియల్ స్టూడెంట్.
ఈ విధమైన సార్థక నామాన్ని మనం అందుకోవడానికి మనము ఈ చిత్తశుద్ధిని ఏర్పరచుకోవాలి.
టు గెట్ సచ్ శాంక్టిఫైడ్ లైఫ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ ప్యూరిటీ ఆఫ్ మైండ్.
స్థిరత్వాన్ని ఏర్పరచుకోవాలి.
స్టడీ యువర్ మైండ్.
ఈ స్థిరత్వమైనటువంటి మార్గానికి ఒక ఆధ్యాత్మికమే సరి అయినటువంటి ఆధారం.
ఇట్ ఇస్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ అలోన్ విచ్ కెన్ ప్రొవైడ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్.
That was a small clip and a very focused part for students as such.
Correct.
Right? And maybe you can start with that towards the end where Swami says very beautifully, Vidyarthi,
mm-hmm.
The way Swami splits that word, to Vishaya. Have artha for vidya. No, mm-hmm. Artha is the desire for something.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you have artha for knowledge, then you're a Vidyarthi. Otherwise, you become a Vishayarthi.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from there, going to that previous statement where Swami says that education is for life and not for a living.
Mm-hmm.
No, clearly that two words which Swami played with, Vidyarthi and Vishayarthi, one who takes on education for a living is a Vishayarthi, he is not a Vidyarthi.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Never for knowledge. Beautiful. And Swami saying that knowledge can be attained from the mind being stable. So how correct. Everything is related.
Basically, it starts off with vikshepa, that is where the constant wavering of the mind. Now, he says, you cannot see your own reflection clearly if the mirror is shaking constantly.
Right.
And Swami has always, like we mentioned last time, said that the mind is like a mad monkey. And then, what are the other levels?
drunk mad monkey, a drunk mad monkey stung by a scorpion.
Oh God. So the mind is in a constant state of wavering.
Yeah. It's, see, Arjuna realizes that he has not got that kind of a mind which is required to face the opposition, the enemy, see. And that is why he is depressed and he is, the I and mine has come in. And he throws down the bow and he refuses to fight. And then he suddenly realizes that Krishna is cool, calm, even singing a tune, you know. He's not at all affected by all this I and mine business, relatives, friends, uncles, aunts and all, which he's facing, you know, dilemma. And then he sees that my mind is not as steady as I thought it was, you know.
And he says that chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi.
So he is really upset. And then he asks him, equanimity, what is equanimity? How does a man of equanimity walk, talk, speak, you know? Because then suddenly his hero is Krishna, who is a man of equanimity, and not himself, who was a great warrior and this and that. So in chapter 2, he asks this question,
Sitta Prajna,
what is the sthiti? Ka bhasha, samadhi tasya keshava,
kim prastitadi, kim pravaseta,
kimasita, prajetakim. And how he talks, how he walks, and his hero is that equanimity, man of him. And then Krishna replies, how you can become equanimous, you know. Rajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatam. Atmanivana Atmanatushtam Stadi Niruchate or something. So giving up all these attachments, you know, Prajahatiyada Kamans, all the desires, attachments from the mind, and enjoying the bliss of the Atman, that makes you only equanimous. That is a very high state which Arjuna realizes he has not reached.
Yeah, this shloka which Swami is quoting, where Arjuna is saying that my mind is wavering, the answer which Krishna gives is very profound. He says,
correct.
Abhyasam and Vairagyam.
Correct.
If you...
Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balavirdidam tasya migraham manyam vayoriva sudushkaram asamshayam mahabaho vayo durnigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. He says, definitely with effort you can even attain vairagya. That's what he says. That's the answer to this. Asamshayam mahabhava. Yes, it is very difficult. It is like trying to control the wind. It's as difficult as trying to control the wind. But with effort you can even attain vairagya.
Dukeshvanu Vigna Mana Sukeshu Vigata Spruha Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Sthitadir Munir Uchyate. So all these qualities can come through practice and discipline.
Correct.
And the other thing with Swami is the first part of this discourse clip which we played, Swami is saying that, you know, the mind is impure or the mind is having a certain problem. What is the point in washing something which is dirty with dirty water? So if you have to purify something which is dirty, you need to seek something which is pure. And what is more purer than the Lord?
Correct.
So then Swami says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam.
The nine parts of...
Right. You know, bringing in the idea of devotion. You know, Swami is not swaying away from this idea of stilling the mind and purifying the mind. But he is bringing in the idea of devotion, how devotion helps in that.
But you know, it's very interesting here. Because when we pray... Like when we pray to Swami, when we pray in this path of devotion, we are thinking that we are praying to get some boons. We are praying for different things. Different people pray for different things. Even this ninefold path of devotion. But the end result of all prayer is the stilling of the mind. In this context, if you look at it, chitta shuddhi and stilling of the mind, purification of the mind and steadiness of the mind is all that you seek. As prayer. Isn't that very interesting? Somehow it doesn't connect with our idea of prayer. Our idea of prayer is you ask God for something and then He gives you something. But here it's very beautifully Swami connects and says that if you want to really still your mind, Shravanam, Kirtanam, these are...
You know, one very interesting thing Swami had told one student once. You know, this question of prayer was maybe confusing him a bit. He said, why should we pray, Swami? You know, why do we write letters to you? Why do we have to give? And why do we have to put forth prayers? And Swami said a beautiful point. He said, no, giving letters also has its own significance.
Mm.
And that time Swami said, if you recollect all the letters that you've given to me,
mm-hmm.
then you'll know how much you've progressed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Swami said, because mm-hmm. you know, you, in the process of that prayer itself, that mm. that even seeking transforms mm. you.
Mm.
Because, you know, when you turn to God and you ask,
mm.
the first step is taken. You mm. realize that if I have to ask, I have to ask Him.
Correct.
And mm-hmm. then when you ask Him, then you say that, you know, here is the Lord who can give me everything. What stupidity on my part to ask these trivial things.
Mm.
You know, that transformation automatically takes place.
He says you have to write a letter. Why? Because, he said, the thought has come to you that I need Swami's help. No?
Mm.
And you have spoken the word also mentally. So you put it in letter. So thought, word and deed all go into that process. See? And that is Trikarana Shuddhi also. The purification of the three karanas. So you have to do it. It's a good thing. For your benefit you have to do it. I may not need it because I know everything. But for your own sake you should do it. There is no harm in writing a letter and giving it to me.
No, very beautifully he comes to bend the body, mend the senses and end the mind. And he says, basically, there's no other choice. You have to do it. And that is the way of attaining this steadiness of the mind. And we have, I think, repeated it so many times on this platform, but it's worth repeating again how Swami has set the schedule in the hostel for the students.
Right.
And there, what we call as integral education, unaware of themselves, if they just follow the routine set by Bhagawan, it takes care of bend the body, mend the senses and the mind. I think all the aspects of this are covered in the daily routine set by Bhagawan.
Very true, you know, because many people are surprised, those who are not aware of Swami's system of education, they're surprised to see that students of Swami are going out in t-shirts and track pants and playing.
Mm-hmm.
They play football and they play these common games because they felt that, oh, we thought you don't do anything other than bhajans.
No, absolutely.
But, you know, that's the thing, because Swami mm-hmm. says that everything is important.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if you recollect the words of Vivekananda, he says that you should be ready to go, you know, into the maidan and wrestle if it needs mm-hmm. be. It doesn't mean that if you're a sadhu, you're weak in body.
Mm.
You're as strong in the body as you're strong in the mind.
Mm.
You know? Because I think, I mean, that's one thing which Swami has repeated in so many of these discourses, that there is an inseparable connection between the mind and the body.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
And that's what Swami says, that when he says, bending the body
mm-hmm.
can actually give you stillness of the mind.
Mm.
You know, it seems to be a bit of logic, but I think he knows better than all of us.
In a sense, when you are actually involved in activity, then your focus is on the activity. And if it's a good activity, obviously your mind is focused on that.
Right.
I think that's one way of understanding that.
And, you know, it's a very popular saying, an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
True.
Right.
And when you do a thing and you give all your concentration to it, I think that takes
body, mind and senses, all three years. Exercised here.
Right. Mm.
And that is an important thing for your character building and your thought process. Trikarana Shuddhi also.
Correct.
Comes in. Body,
and
mind.
Talking of this, even this Vidya, I mean, it's very interesting. Even if you see the mission statement of our university,
mm-hmm.
it's absolutely unequivocally, Swami has mentioned there
mm-hmm.
that the degrees given here
mm.
are only a means. They mm. only we only happen to give you bachelor's and master's degree.
Mm.
What we want to give you is the desire for self-realization.
Mm.
So he says that should be the goal.
He says it is like a sugar-coated pill I am giving you.
Mm.
The degree and all, it is the sugar coating. But the real pill is inside.
I can understand if Swami is telling this in a summer course, Swami is telling this in a closed interview, but it's part of the mission statement.
Mission statement.
You know, if you come here and say that, you know, I was not ready for this, they will tell you that, look at the mission statement.
Correct.
We wanted to give you self-knowledge.
Mm.
And, you know, that's very clearly, it's surprising that we don't go through that statement, but Swami was very clear, even when he started this educational institution, that is what he is here to do.
You know, I don't know if it is out of place, but just to mention, I asked one of the school teachers,
mm-hmm.
you know, just out of interest and curiosity, I asked him, sir, you know, do you find any the students come and join in class 11, and there are some students who continue studying from primary school. Do you find a difference in the attitudes of students who join from outside, possibly from different cities or different towns, and students who have studied here from before? And he gave a very powerful answer. He said, yes, there is a difference. For example, if it is examination time, and there is a boy who is sick, their classmate or something, a person who has studied here from childhood, he will not bother about himself. He will run to help that boy. He will go and selflessly help him out. And whatever help is required, he will go and... He says, I have seen it many times. But students who come from outside, and it's not to put down anybody or lift anybody, but unconsciously how these good habits get added to your personality. But he said, this is what happens. And if there is a person who is sick, a student who comes from outside will think twice, yes, I should help him, but I have also got his exam tomorrow. Yeah. So there is an amount of hesitancy in that. But he says that students who have been here in Swami system, without a second of delay, they will just go and help. I mean, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, because he says the sapling has to grow straight, and the youth catch them young. That's the way
the way grows. Swami has designed the entire education system, it is more than just the education. These qualities just get added on to you. And without your knowledge, you become more rounded and more complete.
Very true.
I mean, it's been told again and again, like students who pass out from this institute, quite balanced in their approach in the offices. Like simple things like there is a mistake and a glass of water has fallen down in the office. A student who has gone out from here would not hesitate to get the cloth and just clean up the place. Well, this has actually happened, while the others are just staring at him and say, oh, why did you could have just called the janitor or somebody to clean it up. He says, why I can do it, it's my mistake, I have dropped it, I can as well clean it up.
And I've seen it actually with some of my classmates and all. I mean, even I've been a person who's come in a bit late. There is that hesitation. Should I bother about myself or should I let go? And I've seen it with some of my classmates who are brilliant students, by the way. They are five pointers. They're very good at studies. At one point, I know a classmate of mine, a roommate, he went through this process very consciously. He said, see, if I work hard, I'm going to get a 5, I'm going to get a gold medal. Maybe if I work a little less hard, I might go down by 20-25 marks. But in the process, if I can help this boy who is not doing well in studies, he said, 10 years down the line, it will make no difference to me how much marks I've got. But it will make such a big difference for this boy I'm helping.
Beautiful.
And he actually gave his ability to be a topper of the class to teach that boy who was actually failing otherwise.
Amazing.
And he said it consciously happened because, you get to that state where you, as Swami says, you see between that which is really important and that which appears important. I think it's a process which happens in every small situation in life.
So the curriculum and what Swami has set, it really develops your body, mind and senses.
And also the heart.
The soul.
The heart, because the head and heart,
Right. Shall we go to the next clip? Maybe a small clip
can
listen to.
There are innumerable numbers of students, teachers and patrons of education.
Kani, enduku ee naadu ee deshamanta inni vidhamainatundi ashantito kungipoyipothuntunnari.
What is the reason for the type of strife that you come across in the country today?
కేవలం ఆర్టిఫిషియల్ విద్యగా మనం అందుకుంటున్నాం.
ఎడ్యుకేషన్ హస్ బికమ్ రాదర్ ఆర్టిఫిషియల్.
కానీ హార్ట్ వరకు పోవటం లేదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ రైట్ అప్ టు ద హార్ట్.
హార్ట్ ఈజ్ ఇన్సైడ్, ఆర్ట్ ఈజ్ అవుట్ సైడ్. బాహ్య దృష్టి అందే మనము జీవితాన్ని ప్రసరింపజేస్తున్నాము. అంతర్దృష్టిని మనం ఏమాత్రం కూడా అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవటం లేదు.
వీఆర్ నాట్ డెవలపింగ్ ఇన్నర్ విజన్ అట్ ఆల్. వీఆర్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ బై మియర్లీ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ సైట్ అండ్ విజన్.
కనుక ఈనాడు విద్యా విధానం అంతా కూడాను కేవలం స్వార్థ స్వప్రయోజన నిమిత్తమై ఉపయోగపరుచుకుంటున్నారు.
Today's students are using everything to meet their own selfish ends.
అన్యాయమ అక్రమ అనాచారమ అసత్యమ అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని ఏమాత్రము విచారించక పెద్ద మార్గములను పట్టి ఏదో ఒక మార్గంలో ధనము సంపాదించి అధికారులం అయిపోయి మనం గొప్ప ఒక ధనవంతులుగా రూపొందాలని ఆశిస్తున్నాం.
Today's students are aspiring to become rich and occupy positions of power, whether it is by fair means or unfair means.
అనేక మంది విద్యార్థులు కూడా విదేశానికి పోవడానికి కూడా ఇదే మూల కారణం.
This is the reason why most of the students are aspiring
dhanamu,
to go abroad.
Dhanamu, dhanamu, dhanamu. Emti ee dhanamu. Nijamaina dhanamu mani emti. Guname nijamaina dhanamu.
When you say money, money, money and say so much of emphasis on money, what is that money without character and quality?
Kanuku mana gunamulainatvanti dhanani manam pochinchukovali.
We should earn the wealth of character and good qualities.
Manam putti periginatvanti oka desham yokka vishwasanni manam balapachukovali.
We should develop faith in our own country where we are born.
Idinadu matrudesamu.
This is my motherland.
Idinamani priya matrubhasha.
This is my mother tongue.
Idinam atamanchu yedagotti nuduvaneerini betikini pinugokkondu vasudanu kalada. Mana desha abhimaname lekapothe manam inka paradesam yokka vicharane enduku cheyali.
If we don't have love for our own nation and love for another country,
kanna tallini machinatundi vyakti pina tallini matram varakunda untada.
A person who forgets his own mother, would he not forget his stepmother?
Kevalam dhana nimittamai manam ee vidhanga beggars ga tayar kaakoddu.
For the sake of earning money, we should never convert ourselves into beggars.
Neevu beg cheyalanukunte nee swadeshamlo cheyi.
If you really want to beg, beg in your own country.
Videshalu poyi neevu kevalam vichhapatram nettukoni dharmanu sampadinchi bratike danikante chaavu melu.
Why do you go to foreign countries and beg? It is better to die rather than do that.
కనుక మనం స్వదేశ సేవను స్వదేశ విశ్వాసాన్ని స్వదేశ దీన్ని మనం అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
లెట్ అస్ సర్వ్ అవర్ కంట్రీ, లెట్ అస్ హావ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ అవర్ కంట్రీ.
అలాంటి డిటర్మినేషన్ మనం పూనాలి.
వీ షుడ్ హావ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ డిటర్మినేషన్.
భారతదేశం నందు పుట్టి ఇది నా ప్రియ భాతృభాష అని చెప్పుకుంటూ జననీ జన్మభూమస్య స్వర్గాధిపతి గరియేసి మన జన్మభూమిపై నీ విశ్వాసం లేకపోతే ఇంక ఎందుకోసం మనం జన్మనిస్తాలి?
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, ఆఫ్టర్ బీయింగ్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ భారత్, if you don't have love for Bharat, if you don't have patriotism, why should we be born at all?
Kanuka mana desamunande undi mana desa seva chesi desa prajalanu sariyana prathisthilo teechididdaniki tagalina kankana kattukovali.
We should take a vow to remain in our country, serve our country, and
edaina oka engineer pass ayinadu leka oka medical pass ayinadu edo oka doctor pass ayinadu takshaname foreign country ki povadaniki anta passport passport passport.
The moment
you have weakness,
the moment a person gets a MBBS or any degree, immediately he wants to try for a passport to go abroad.
Biggers kaadu beggars.
These are all not big people, biggers, but
nee talligandru seva nee cheyi.
Serve your parents.
Nee kanna bhoomi yokka seva cheyi.
Serve your mother country.
నీ యొక్క దేశ ప్రజలను నీవు సరైన రీతిలో అదుకో.
సర్వ్ యు ది సిటిజన్స్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఓన్ మదర్ ల్యాండ్.
నీ స్వార్థము స్వప్రయోజన నిమిత్తమై నీ శక్తి సామర్థ్యములు ఉపయోగపెట్టుకోవద్దు.
డూ నాట్ యూజ్ ఆల్ యువర్ కెపాసిటీస్ అండ్ కేపబిలిటీస్ ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఓన్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్.
కనుక ఇట్టి పవిత్రమైన భావాన్ని మనం అభివృద్ధి పరచుకున్నప్పుడే మన యొక్క చిత్తము స్థిరత్వానికి వస్తుంది.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ వీ డెవలప్ సచ్ సేక్రెడ్ ఫీలింగ్స్ లేకపోతే అవర్ మైండ్
గడియారం పెండుల మాదిరి అటు ఇటు ఆడుతుంటాయి.
అదర్వైజ్ అవర్ మైండ్ విల్ బి కాన్స్టెంట్లీ అన్స్టడీ అండ్ వేవరింగ్.
కనుక స్థిరత్వం కావాలనుకుంటుంటే ఒక విధమైనటువంటి మొట్టమొదటి మాస్టర్ ప్లాన్ వేసుకోవాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ రియలీ వాంట్ టు డెవలప్ స్టడీనెస్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్, యూ మస్ట్ ఫస్ట్ నా భవిష్యత్తు
ఏమి చెయ్యాలి, ఎలాంటి మార్గంలో నేను నడుచుకోవాలి, ఏ విధమైన మానవత్వాన్ని నేను అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని విచారణ చేయాలి.
వాట్ షుడ్ బి మై ఫ్యూచర్? హౌ కెన్ ఐ డెవలప్ ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమానిటీ అండ్ హ్యూమన్ ఫీలింగ్స్ దట్ ఐ షుడ్ హ్యావ్? యూ మస్ట్ థింక్ ఆన్ దీస్ లైన్స్.
నా తల్లిదండ్రులు నా నిమిత్తం ఎన్ని శ్రమలు పడుతున్నారు.
హౌ మచ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రబుల్ మై పేరెంట్స్ ఆర్ టేకింగ్ ఫర్ మై సేక్.
కనుక వారి యొక్క సర్వము వారిదే నా యొక్క జీవితము.
మై ఎంటైర్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ ద గిఫ్ట్ ఆఫ్ మై పేరెంట్స్.
ఒక్కటి మాత్రం మీరు మరవకూడదు.
స్టూడెంట్స్, యూ షుడ్ నెవర్ ఫర్గెట్ వన్.
మీ ఫుడ్, మీ హెడ్, మీ బ్లడ్, మీ దుడ్డు అంతా పేరెంట్స్ గిఫ్టే.
యువర్ ఫుడ్, యువర్ బ్లడ్ అండ్ యువర్ మనీ, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ అ గిఫ్ట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ పేరెంట్స్.
మొట్టమొదట పేరెంట్స్ గ్రాట్యుటీస్ చేయాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్
వారిని ప్రసన్నం చేయడానికి యొక్క మీ చదువులు ఎందుకోసం?
What is the use of your education if you do not have gratitude for your parents?
కన్న తల్లిదండ్రులనే సంతృప్తి పరచలేనటువంటి యొక్క మీ యొక్క చదువు ఎందుకోసం?
If you cannot satisfy your own parents, what is the use of your education?
వృద్ధులైనటువంటి తల్లిదండ్రులను విసర్జించి పరదేశములకు పోయి నీవు ఫ్యాషన్ గా తిరుగుతుంటుంటే నీ యొక్క పాపం పలవక ఇంకా తగ్గిపోవటం ఎట్లవుతుంది?
Giving up old parents in the old age, going abroad and there enjoying all the physical comforts,
vruddhulaina tallidandrulanu dakkara untundi meeru pratyekanga chuchukovali.
When your parents become old, it is your responsibility to serve them.
Kartavyam,
it is your duty.
Kartavyam yogam uchyate, adhe nijamainatundi yogam.
That itself is real yoga.
Ee vidhamainatundi yokka pavitramaina bhavanni manam abhruthi parchukunnappude మన యొక్క చిత్తము స్థిరత్వంగా మారుతుంది.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ డెవలప్ సచ్ సీక్రెట్ ఫీలింగ్స్ అండ్ థాట్స్ ఇన్ యూ,
ప్రత్యేకమైన కసరత్తులు చేయనక్కర్లేదు.
యువర్ హార్ట్ బికమ్స్ స్టడీ, నో నీడ్ ఫర్ ఎనీ
సులభమైన మార్గము లోపలనే ఉంటున్నాయి మన వేదాంతమునందు.
ఇన్ అవర్ ఫిలాసఫీ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ సింపుల్ అండ్ ఈజీ.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి మార్గంలో పోయినప్పుడే మానవుడు మానవుడిగా కాకుండా మానవుడు మాధవునిగా కూడా మారగలడు.
వెన్ హీ ఫాలోస్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ పాత్, మ్యాన్ నాట్ మెయిన్లీ రిమైన్స్ ఎ మ్యాన్, హీ కెన్ అటైన్
మాధవుడుగా మారటం అటువంటిది. మానవుడు మానవుడిగా కూడా మారటం లేదు, మానవుడు దానవుడుగా మారుతున్నాడు.
లెట్ అలోన్ మానవ బికమింగ్ మాధవ, బట్ హీ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ రిమైనింగ్ మ్యాన్ యాజ్ మ్యాన్, హీఈస్ బికమింగ్ ఎ డెమన్.
కనుక పవిత్రమైన భావముల చేత, పవిత్రమైన సాధనల చేత, పవిత్రమైన చింతల చేత మన యొక్క చంచలత్వాన్ని స్థిరత్వంగా మార్చుకోవచ్చు.
బై సేక్రెడ్ ఫీలింగ్స్, సేక్రెడ్ థాట్స్ అండ్ సేక్రెడ్ ఐడియాస్ వీ కెన్ స్టడీ.
ప్రతి ఒక్కటి కూడా జీవితంలో అన్ని కదిలిపోయే మేఘములే.
పాసింగ్
క్లౌడ్స్,
ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ ఈజ్ లైక్ పాసింగ్ క్లౌడ్స్.
ఒక్కటైనా స్థిరమైనటువంటిది లేదు.
నథింగ్ ఈజ్ పర్మనెంట్.
పుట్టిన బిడ్డ చైల్డ్ అనుకుంటాం, 10 సంవత్సరాలకు బాయ్ అయిపోతున్నాడు, మరి 30 సంవత్సరాలకు మ్యాన్ అవుతున్నాడు, 75 ఏజ్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ అవుతున్నాడు. చైల్డ్, బాయ్, మ్యాన్, గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ ఒకడైనప్పటికీ కాల పరిస్థితి చేత, కాల ప్రభావం చేత ఎన్ని మార్పులు చెందినాయి.
అట్ బర్త్ వీ కాల్ ఎ చైల్డ్, ఆఫ్టర్ 10 ఇయర్స్ ఎ బాయ్, ఆఫ్టర్వర్డ్స్ ఎ యూత్ అండ్ ఓల్డ్ మ్యాన్. బట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ రిలేటింగ్ టు ది చేంజెస్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ.
అన్ని మార్పు చెందేటువంటివి.
ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండర్గోస్ చేంజ్.
ప్రతి ఒక్కటి మార్పు అని అనుకుంటే దాని వల్ల విచారమే ఏమాత్రం అవసరం ఉండదు.
వన్స్ యూ రియలైజ్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ చేంజెస్, దేర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ ఫర్
ప్రెజర్. ఇస్ అన్ ఇంటర్వెల్ బిట్వీన్ టూ పెయిన్స్. రెండు బాధల మధ్యలోనే ఒక సుఖం చెప్తుంది మనకు.
ప్లెజర్ ఈజ్ ఫౌండ్ ఓన్లీ బిట్వీన్ టూ పెయిన్స్.
దీనినే వేదాంతం నా సుఖార్ లభ్యతే సుఖం అనేది. సుఖం చేత మనకు సుఖం చిక్కదు, కష్టం చేతనే సుఖం లభిస్తుంది.
యూ కెన్ నెవర్ ఆబ్టైన్ హ్యాపీనెస్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హ్యాపీనెస్, ఓన్లీ త్రూ డిఫికల్టీ.
నీవు 24 అవర్స్ కూడా ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ రూమ్ లో కూర్చుంటే ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ విలువ కూడా నీకు తెలియదు.
ఇఫ్ యూ స్టే ఇన్ అన్ ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ రూమ్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ ఫర్ 24 అవర్స్, యూ డు నాట్ నో.
2 గంటలు ఎండలో చుట్టూ తిరిగి నీవు ఎయిర్ కండిషన్ రూమ్ లో ప్రవేశించినప్పుడు అప్పుడు దాని విలువ మనకు తెలుస్తుంది.
Walk in the hot sun for 2 hours and enter into the air conditioned room, you will appreciate
it. Padakunda sukham yokka vilu manaku artham kaadu.
Without undergoing difficulties, you will not really appreciate the value of
karma. Karmanyeva adhikarasti, karmane mana yokka adhikaramu.
We have got every right for action.
Karmanu cheyali,
we should perform.
Kayanu vanchali,
we should bend our
hudiyanni pavitram gaavinchukovali.
Purify your heart.
Kevalam somberi potulu made tini kurchotamu idi manavuni yokka kartavyam kaadu.
It is not proper on the part of man to simply eat and keep quiet by being lazy.
Laziness is rust and dust annaru.
It is said that laziness is dust and rust.
Realization is the best and rest.
Realization
kanuka manam realize cheyali. Nenu evaru, nenu evaru, nenu evaru, nenu manishina pasuvuna అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని చక్కగా విచారణ చేయాలి.
హూ షుడ్ ఎన్క్వైర్ అస్ హూ వి ఆర్, వెదర్ వి ఆర్ మ్యాన్.
అదే మన యొక్క రిలిజన్. రిలిజన్ అనగా రియలైజ్ ఈజ్ రిలిజన్. మనం రియలైజ్ చేయాలి.
వీ హావ్ టు రియలైజ్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్. రిలిజన్ ఇస్ మెంట్ ఫర్ రియలైజింగ్, రియలైజేషన్.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి విచారణ చేత మనలో ఆవరించినటువంటి యొక్క స్థిరత్వం కానీ మాలిన్యం కానీ కొంతవరకును పరిశుద్ధం కాగలదు.
వాట్ ఎవర్ హ్యాస్ ఎన్వలప్డ్ అస్ by various actions can be cleared by this kind.
Yeah. It is
very, very powerful segment of the discourse.
You know, trying to understand how Swami was connecting that concept of students going abroad and forgetting their parents and I think what Swami was trying to say, I may be wrong also, is that keeping the focus right mm-hmm. is a very important thing in stabilizing the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is saying that, you know, that idea of looking for wealth, idea of finding something outside to make you happy, mm-hmm. is itself a source of keeping your mind unstable.
Here I have personal experience because this was in 1990 that he spoke, but in 1980, 10 years before, I had got a green card to go to USA. See, because I was chemical engineering students and all, they had worked for some time and I had a child who was sick, you know. So I felt there was no good hope for him in future here because I was handicapped. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to get a green card for a job in USA. So as a routine thing, I wanted Swami to come bless me, you know. So mm-hmm. I came with that thing here and I stayed here. I used to go every day morning, evening for darshan, mm-hmm. hoping that Swami will come near and I can get his blessing for my green card.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, he would avoid me completely, morning, evening for 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to go back, you know. So I wrote another letter. I forgot, cancelled this letter and I wrote another letter. Swami, it appears you don't want me to go to USA mm-hmm. and you are not blessing my program. So I have decided to cancel my green card. And I was sitting in the sixth row there. And Swami comes down with a smile, looks at me and says,
beautiful. Amazing.
That was in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I remember reading this also in 1990, and I was very happy that now I know why Swami is doing all these things. See, even at those days he used to do that. Of course, there was no way of knowing why he did what he did, you know.
So, as you know, even when Swami is talking about patriotism, that is some kind of an idealism that engages the mind. See, you are when an idea obsesses you, when an idea fills you, that patriotic feeling, once it fills you, then your mind is stable. It is focused on something. I think that's also a way in which you can stabilize the mind. That's how it's coming in context right. here.
And also in one way of trying to see the oneness, that's what all endeavors, spiritual endeavors are about, is you expand the field of your selfishness, you know, because you here you're talking of how do I earn money, how do I earn wealth.
Right. Mm.
Swami is saying that sacrifice that desire to be more wealthy for the benefit of your country.
Correct.
Imagine that the country belongs to you. Swami is saying, think it's my mother, my motherland, mm. and I need to do. It's a means of, you know, you might make an outward claim of becoming a global citizen.
Mm.
But the fact is you are actually going for a selfish purpose.
Mm.
Swami is saying, can you give up that selfish purpose mm. for embracing a larger community and making your circle bigger?
Mm.
I think that also might be one of the things that Swami is hinting at here.
I think that Longfellow or some poet has said, no, breathes there a man so dead who hath never said, this my mother, my own, my motherland, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is dead if he doesn't have any feeling for his motherland. So that concept is there, you know, all over, universal concept. And that
also
is very important.
Like a never-ending tunnel. We know people, you know, you are getting a fat salary. Aray, but that fellow is getting more than me.
Yeah,
so then you say, okay, let me struggle and get pass one more exam and then go to one level. They say, no, if I'm still working in India, I don't get as much as that fellow who is posted in the US. So then it's endless. It just goes on. So I think, you know, endless chasing of all this is again causing imbalance
exactly.
in your mind.
You know, that's the prelude which Swami gives to this entire narrative mm-hmm. about motherland and patriotism. And Swami says that you're preoccupied with things outside
mm.
and ignoring the spirit within.
Mm.
In fact, that is the essence, because Swami says the true spiritual journey is when you start looking within. And you
mm.
see faults outside, you start looking for the fault within.
Mm.
If you need happiness, you look within. And that is what Swami is saying. As you're saying that, you know, that search outside is endless.
Mm.
You always keep comparing and trying to go higher and higher and grab mm. more and more. And of course, towards the end, Swami says, talks about pain and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says,
interval between two pains
is pleasure. Mm-hmm. And unless you go through that period of pain, you do not enjoy that pleasure.
Mm.
You know, pleasure ceases to be pleasure in the absence of pain. That's exactly what Swami is saying, because Swami is giving the example of if you stay the whole day in an air-conditioned room, you seem to forget the value of that pleasure you're going through.
That's true, but you know, just thinking about it, the knowledge, the moment you know that pleasure is indeed an interval between two pains, then your mind becomes calm.
Right.
Okay. So, suppose you are undergoing pain and your mind is agitated and it's unsteady. But if you know that, yes, it is going to alternate between pleasure and pain, then you are
absolutely kind of calm. Profound point, because the ephemeral nature of what unpleasant thing you're going through gives you the peace that, you know, this is not
permanent.
This is not permanent.
Passing cloud, yeah. Like Swami says.
True.
No, I would often think of the example of, we have this habit of putting a screen guard for your, you know, mobile phone.
Mobile, yeah.
The idea is there should not be any scratches on the screen.
Mm.
The fact is the screen guard which we put gets the scratches.
Mm.
But having the scratches doesn't trouble us. The idea that it is on the screen guard which I can remove and replace it, you know, you don't mind having the scratches also.
That's true.
You know, the idea of going through pain, thinking that, you know, this pain is anyway going to go, you don't mind having the pain.
Your mind is not, you know, very agitated. You are more balanced. You can accept it,
right,
knowing that it will go one day. This too shall pass.
No, here Nisargadatta Maharaj has talked about this also, pleasure and pain, suffering and enjoyment. See, the jiva, with all his might, tries to reject suffering that is coming to him. But he welcomes the joy and pleasures coming to him. So the moment you learn to accept both equally, joy as well as sorrow, then the jiva has no place there. The ego has no place, because you have accepted it totally. So that is how the ego dies out also. So that brings in equanimity as well as the release from ego.
So dear listeners, we have overshot our time, and so let's bring this program to a wrap. We offer this program at Swami's Lotus Feet and thank him once again for this opportunity. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Bishu and for his last program outside, Inside Deep Inside. Thanking you for joining us. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai. With me is Sai Prakash and Suresh Rao sir, all of us from Team Radio Sai. Good night, and till we meet next time, Jai Sai Ram.